Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. And the gospel reading is in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. And if you want to follow in the church Bibles, it's page 971. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do please sit down. If you're a regular, you will know that we are going through the Lord's Prayer at our 9 o'clock services, and we've got today to that nice line, "Give us today our daily bread." And we'll come on to that in just a moment, but just a couple of comments about prayer. Tearfund did a survey recently and discovered that 51% of British adults say that they pray. Fascinating, isn't it? Not many of them go to church, not many show any indication of interest in the Christian gospel, but 51% say they pray. I know these three don't add up to 100%. I think some people must have voted twice. 55% pray during a personal crisis or tragedy. 35% pray on the off chance that something might change. And 24% pray as a last resort. Prayer is somehow part of us, part of thinking. And certainly it's a major area where there is a crisis. There's a story told of the First World War and a rather raucous sergeant major who gave a private in his section a pretty rough time because the private was a Christian and the sergeant major didn't want to know. They found themselves in the trenches with bullets flying. And what happened? The sergeant major said, "Lord, God, if there is a God, please save my soul, if I've got a soul." And afterwards, the private gently said to him, "Interesting you should have responded in that way." And the sergeant major said, "Oh, in a situation like that, I'll always cry to God." Prayer somehow is just deeply embedded in us. And one of my favorite Bible passages, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. That was his normal pattern. And as we look at the Lord's Prayer, think about our time with God, Jesus went, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you won't fall into temptation." He then went a little further away, a stone's throw away, knelt down, and it's just before the crucifixion, just hours before. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus, as usual, prayed. That was his relationship with his Father. And then came the crisis prayer. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. He knew what was coming, and he didn't fancy the prospect. But he finishes by saying, yet not my will, but yours be done. That, to me, is what prayer is all about. A regular chat with God, and then we bring the crisis or whatever it may be to him. And more often than not, we're talking about crisis. It's just our daily life. But not my will, but your will be done. This, Lord, is what I would like. I'd like this cup to be removed from me. I don't want to die on a cross, but it's your will that matters. So, on to our little section for today. Give us daily bread. Firstly, give. Give. God doesn't lend us daily bread. God doesn't sell us daily bread. God gives us daily bread. And I think it's wonderful that two of the greatest gifts that we can have are free from God. God said back in Genesis, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. I will give it to you. And we have a earth, and oh my, it makes me weep when I look at some of the situations in Africa. Absolutely wonderful places, and yet ruined. Ruined by the greed of men. God said, I will give you. We have food freely there. It's in the fields. We can dig it up. We can pull it off the trees free. And secondly, God said in Genesis chapter 2, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. Friendship is free. It's free. And as I say grace at a mealtime, for instance, almost without fail, I say, Lord, thank you for this food we're eating, free. Thank you for the friendship we enjoy, free. God's referring specially here to Adam and Eve, the special relationship within marriage, special relationship between husband and wife. But that really, isn't it true? We look around here now, we have friends. I always love to think of our church here as being a family, friends, free. We don't pay a single penny to have friendship. God has give us today our daily bread. He's given for free food, and he's given friendship. And he's given it to us. One of the earliest things I recall as a young Christian was my Bible class leader saying, when you pray, don't pray me and I, pray us. That was the Lord's Prayer. This is what Jesus said. If you come to pray, pray in this way. This is the outline of prayer. That's what the Lord's Prayer is. Give us today our daily bread. And here we've got the contrast, haven't we, of the us. We've got the happy party sitting around the table, raising their glasses to each other. And we've got the starving right beside. Give us today our daily bread. And we need to challenge ourselves as we say this prayer. Give us, not me, us. And us is not just here, us is worldwide. Give us. What is the challenge to us of the starving children? Well, 50 years ago this year, a group of people said there's a challenge here for us Christians, for the starving in the third world, and Tear Fund was formed. The challenge was seen by those folk. And we today, as we say the Lord's Prayer, I believe need to realize and remember it is us, not just me. Straight to St. Richard's Church in Ham. Why am I showing that? Because you may remember a couple of weeks ago when Simon was talking about his calling to this church. It was something that had been on his mind for a long time, something he'd been praying for, and suddenly there's that sort of shaft of light, and it certainly has happened to me, not to do with St. Richard's Church, but in other areas where you suddenly say, Am I the answer to my prayer? Give us our bread. Are we the answer to the needs of people in the world today? Is there something that we should be doing in response to what we understand as we pray that prayer? Daily. And there's a lovely little book I've had for years called Patterns for Prayer from the Gospels. I don't know who V. Gilbert Beers is, but there's some great words. The word needs, he says, is broadened today, and this is written some years ago, to include luxuries that would stagger the mind of a Bible time king. Solomon would have given half his kingdom for the gadgets we have in our homes. We still call them needs. Thus, when we pray, give us our food again today, as usual, we don't think of the simple bread of Jesus' day. We let our minds slide a bit on the word bread until it swallows up half the ideal home exhibition. Some life insurance policies, a few stocks, a savings account, and a new car. Are we really praying for daily bread, or are we praying for God to help us to keep up with the Joneses? Daily. Now, in Jesus' day, in biblical times, people, of course, queued for work in the morning and queued at the end of the day to get their wages, and they would be given the wages for the day, and that kept their family going. Daily meant something. It was the way they lived. We, of course, are in a world today where our wages are deposited in our bank account on the 25th of the month. Life is different, and it has meant that there's certainly, in some of the theological circles today, quite a debate going on, because we tend to look at the Old Testament and some of the New and pull out of it truths. And certainly some of our theologians today say, look, some of the truths, they were different in Bible times. We've got to think and look carefully. Wages, daily, that whole commitment was different. Pensions, insurance, savings. I, in my role as an accountant over the years, have been asked so many times by Christians, is it right that I should be putting money into a pension fund? God will look after me at my needs day by day. When I retire, he'll look after me. So shouldn't I be giving that money away? Insurance. God will look after me. If my house burns down, God will protect me. So why pay money to an insurance company? Certainly savings. Why should we squirrel money away in a bank? God will look after us day by day. Trust him. Now, I personally don't go along with that view, because it seems to me that God has given us insurance companies, given us pension funds, and these verses I mentioned in my prayer last week hit me quite recently, and Dorothy read them before. Moses says to the children of Israel, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build houses, settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. Remember the Lord your God, it is he who gives you the ability. And you know, just a few weeks back, I was lying in the hospital up the road while they fired some radiotherapy at me. And as I walked into that room and saw this equipment, I thought, wow, how did anyone invent this, and how did they possibly build this? And then as I lay there and the machine clanked its way around and did whatever it had to do, I just lay there for those few minutes and said, Lord, thank you. God has given somebody there some persons there, massive ability to do that for my benefit today. And therefore, when people say, you can trust God, you don't need to go to a doctor, he will protect you, I look at this verse and other verses like it in the Bible and say, God has given us in the 21st century wonderful skills, doctors. I was going to say, well, I will say bankers, but it'll probably create some giggles around. God has given the skills, and I personally am very happy indeed to use the skills of the people that God has worked on over those years. Yes, give us today our daily bread, definitely, but daily was different in biblical times. We're in a complex world today, and I believe that it's responsible, and I'm delighted personally that I put money into a pension fund during my working years, and I'm not day by day now looking for God to produce something for me. I don't think that's right. I think God has given us the ability today to put money into pension funds, to put a little money aside. The big thing is the pattern for prayer that I just read out before. The big thing is that we don't then squirrel it all away so that there's a massive bank balance sitting there. There's a balance which we today need to work on. Give us today, daily, our bread. And so finally, bread, an essential of life, absolute essential of life. And God says, don't worry. I couldn't resist. This refers to clothing rather than food from that Matthew passage. Walk out into the fields and look at the wild flowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen colour and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. And Oak Hall Church in Caterham, you may know the name, they organise holidays, every year have a Bluebell Sunday. And just close to the church there, this feels absolutely wonderful. And the whole church walks through the fields for half an hour or so, just looking and thanking God, and then go back to church, has a time of fellowship together, has something to eat, and thanks God. Thanks God. God has given freely these things. Absolutely wonderful. And the birds of the air, the lilies of the field and so on, he gives us the beauty, he gives us the clothing, he gives us the food. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of Christ Jesus. God will give you all you need, all you need. And I believe we need as Christians to stand back as we pray this prayer. Not a prayer to be rattled through. The Lord's Prayer is a format. We started out the last couple of weeks talking about God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then we move on as we have today to us in the second part of the Lord's Prayer. It's a structure. And as we pray, we need to be conscious of the words we're praying. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. All your needs. Not all the ideal home exhibition has to offer, but all our needs. And it's wonderful that we can be like Jesus, that he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and just quietly sits down, kneels down, and prays about his needs. I love doing that day by day, but it's the needs. Give us today our bread. God will provide our needs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we have a great Father, a Father who cares for his children more than any human father can. Thank you, you've provided freely for us food, friendships. And we ask, Father, that as we pray this prayer, it may be meaningful to us, that we may be concerned for others, that we may be quick to acknowledge that all things come of you. Help us in this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.